I say almost for you because how many of you consider yourself to be sheep? A couple of you. How successful do you think it would be if the armed services, any branch, put a sign out with a bunch of lambs or even a commercial on TV with a group of lambs? And then the lion comes out and says, "We're looking for a few good sheep." How successful of a recruiting tool do you think that would be? Probably not very. There was a book published probably 15 years ago or so. Carl, you can tell me. You don't know? I took Jennifer's car in to have the oil change, and I was standing there waiting for the service manager to finish with my ticket. And the phone rang, so he picked it up and he said, "Hello." And then this is kind of what the other end of the conversation was. "I have a 1998 Honda Accord. Can you tell me what's wrong with it?" And the reason why I think that's the way the conversation went is because the service manager said this, "We haven't even looked at it yet, so there's no way I can tell you what's wrong with it." So, Carl, you're not any better than the service manager. The book was entitled When Lambs Roar. See any problem with that title? Do lambs roar? Not really. And yet today you're going to discover when lambs roar. By looking at Ephesians chapter 6, take your Bibles and turn with me there. You're going to see a passage of Scripture that you may or may not have thought of it this way before, but we're talking about putting on the whole armor of God today. Starting with verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." Did you catch in that passage of Scripture when sheep, I have a hard time even thinking of this, when sheep roar? What is a sheep good at? And besides that, a sheep is good at standing in its field growing wool. That's it. You ever gone to a circus? And in the center ring, the ringmaster says, "And now, for your viewing pleasure, in the center ring, we are going to have some trained sheep." No. First of all, you can't train sheep. They are dumb. Well, they can baa, so they just must be unintelligent. That's not what we think of when we think of sheep. And when we think of putting on the armor of God, we think of strength. We think of power. We think of might. When you were in the service, did you think of putting on your sheep's clothes to go into battle? Probably not. There was one thing, well, we'll get to that in a second. If we don't get it today, we'll get to it next week. And this is what I like about doing a series of sermons. If where I finish today just kind of dictates where I take up next week. Be strong in the Lord. We are sheep. We are not strong. These verses in the Bible are for people who are weak. They're not for the strong. Now, what is the significance of the fact that we are weak? Who is strong in our place? Now, did you get that from the passage, or are you just guessing? If you back up, be strong in the Lord. So who is our strength? The Lord. So even sheep can roar. Isn't that exciting? You don't have to go around, bah. You can roar! Well, kind of. I can't remember which little movie for the kids this was for, but there was a little, I think it was either a bear cub or a lion cub, and I'm just going to use the bear cub for the illustration, but it works. This little bear cub was trying to be really tough. And he was going around, and something came out in his way, and he decided to scare it. And he stood up on his hind feet, and he let out a little roar. But as soon as he let that sound go, he was impressed because roar came out, and whatever it was, tore off. And he was going, wow, I'm awesome. Till he turned around, and there was Dad. That's the way it is with us as sheep. You see, the Bible says we are sheep of his pasture. He is our shepherd. And when little sheep roar, the Lion of Judah shows up, and there is a roar. And the devil, the princes of the air and darkness, tremble at sheep who put on the armor of God. Now, as we go through this morning, you're going to see that none of this armor is ours. Put on the armor of God. He gives us this armor. Let's start with the first thing it says. Because we do not war against flesh and blood, Paul uses a metaphor here of a soldier's armor. Now, where was Paul when he wrote this book? Do you know? He was under house arrest, chained to a soldier in Rome. 24 hours a day for 2 full years, he got to stare at a Roman soldier. And he saw their getup, their armor. And so Paul uses that. He's looking at there, and I believe the Holy Spirit inspired him to use this picture for us to help us understand that we can stand strong in the Lord. For those people who decide they're strong enough on their own, I have news for you. You're not going to make it. Because if you do not put on the armor of God, you cannot withstand the barrage of things that the devil throws at you. Stand therefore, verse 14, having girded your waist with truth. How do you gird your waist? You put on a belt. The belt of truth. You'll notice even in your translation, and I'll just tell you this, in the original language, there's no what they call the definite article, the truth. Now, when we say the truth, what do we think of? Carl, help me. Okay, you think of Christ, the truth, okay? That's okay. But when you just say truth, what does that encompass? It encompasses everything. Now, where can you find truth today? Do you find it in politics? Sadly, no. Do you find it when you go to visit a used car lot? That's where you find truth. The only way to get the truth out of them is to go with your own Carfax about the car you want to buy. And then they'll tell you the truth because it's already right there. We have a hard time finding truth. And yet God tells us that if we're going to put on the armor of God, we have to start with truth. Everything about us is truth. How do our children learn the difference between right and wrong? From us. The phone rings. And let's just say, for example, this morning, I have caller ID, which I do. And Jennifer answers the phone, but while she's answering the phone, I go and look at the caller ID, and it's somebody I don't want to talk to. I just don't have the time. I don't have the energy to deal with the person whose number pops up. And so I say, Jennifer, tell them I am not here. Now, first of all, that will not go over with Jennifer. She'll say, tell them yourself. Well, that kind of defeats the point. But Carrie or Emily are sitting there in the room, and they hear me tell their mother, tell them I'm not here. And yet they look and say, oh, I see Daddy. What do you mean you're not here? Is that telling the truth? Now, if I said, Jennifer, just tell them, I'll call them back, take a message. Not even busy, just tell them, I'll call them back. Okay? Is that more of the truth? Yes, it's more of the truth. But I didn't say that was truth. You see what I'm getting at? When we put on the armor of God, the first thing we have to do is be willing to stand in the truth. Be truth. First of all, we have to recognize who we are. The Bible says, I'm a sinner. It also says, the bad news is, you're a sinner too. We're all sinners. Once we recognize who we are and we tell the truth about ourselves, then God can do His work in us. We have to start with truth. Because if we don't put on the truth, just like a Roman soldier, when he put on his belt, that kind of held everything together. It kept him in a fighting mode. Without that belt, and it wasn't like a belt that I'm wearing or you're wearing this morning, it was this large apparatus made out of mail that he wrapped around to kind of keep everything else together. And without that, his uniform that he was wearing and other things would just flap in the breeze, and he would be more vulnerable to a deadly attack. What a beautiful picture that Paul uses to say, gird yourself with truth. To protect yourself from the evil one. The next thing is the breastplate. What does the breastplate cover? Heart, lungs. Now, let me back up. This breastplate, can you see this portion of it right here? What does that cover? The back. Yeah, I'm pointing through the hole that the arm comes out. Yeah. So that part. A Roman's breastplate also covered the back. Because sometimes in battle, you have to kind of turn your side to your side for different things, and you have to protect the back. Sometimes you'll be surrounded by the enemy. You got to have protection, because not only can they get to the vital organs from the front, but they can get it to it from the back. You've got to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Whose righteousness? Jesus, the Lord's. Because the Bible says our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Now, I've got some filthy rags in my garage that I've cleaned up some oil spills with. Let's just say I invite you over to my house and we have dinner, and instead of the linen napkins that Jennifer wants to put out there that goes with the tablecloth and the dishes, I bring in those shop rags and set them at your table. First of all, would you pick it up? No. That's what we try to do when we try to present ourselves to God as better than we are, because we're not telling the truth about ourselves. That's where it starts. We move on. We have to realize that we need the righteousness of Christ covering us. If we don't have that breastplate of righteousness, we are just filthy rags. You see, this armor is not about us. It's about God giving us a gift of protection. Because the devil can come to you and say, hey, I know you. When I put this thought in your mind, you think about that for a while, or you go ahead and act on that. I know you. You're a sinner. But when you put yourselves in the armor of God, and you start with truth, recognizing you're a sinner, you need Jesus, you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. We put the breastplate of his righteousness on. When the devil comes and he throws that little dart or that big spear of his version of the truth, telling us who we are, what happens to that? It hits it and falls off, because we have been covered with the righteousness of Jesus. The next thing that it says there is to put on or to, well, let's read it. Having shod your feet, verse 15, with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The first three items you can say are the three B's. The belt, the breastplate, and the boots. Now think about a soldier and all the apparatus that they use. And so you have the helmet, you have the breastplate, you have the shield, you have the sword, and they're ready to go into battle and they're barefoot. Are they really ready to go into battle? No. God wants us covered, and he wants us covered 100%. And so he gives us his armor. Now, if we fight in the armor that God gives us, what happened to the devil at the cross when Jesus fought in God's armor? He was defeated. Do you want to defeat the devil? Do you want to roar like a lion, but you're a sheep? Then you put on the armor of God. Every piece of it. If you leave any of it out, you become vulnerable. Guess what? Well, I'm going to do one more, and then you're going to get the rest of it next week. Put on the shield of faith. Now, a shield, the Romans had two shields. The Roman soldier had two shields. They had a small one that fit on whatever arm was opposite the sword that they had. And they had this little shield, and it was to protect, and it was put on their arm with leather straps. It was for them to protect against the sword or spear that the enemy was fighting with against them with its hand-to-hand combat. So you had this little shield, but you also had a big shield. And the big shield was about 2.5 feet wide and about 4.5 feet tall, made out of wood, covered with either leather or metal. And that wasn't a light piece of equipment. But it says here in the scripture to protect yourselves from the fiery darts of the devil. When soldiers went into battle back in those days, they didn't have guns, they had spears and swords. And sometimes they would dip their spears in something, they would light it, and they would send these arrows and spears over that were on fire. And this soldier would hold up his big shield, and those arrows and darts and spears would, even if it hit it and stuck, this was kind of a non-flammable cover on there. God wants to protect us. And I want to close with this thought. A shield of faith, who are you putting faith in when you put on the armor of God? God. So no matter what goes on in your life, no matter what drops out of the sky in your life, you have the shield of faith, and faith means you are trusting God. Now you might say, Pastor Greg, that's all fine for everybody else, but you don't know my situation. Well, I want you to look carefully at that verse because it says to protect you against all of the fiery darts. Not just some, but you say, well Pastor, you just don't understand. You don't understand who I work with. What does all mean to you? It means all. All is all. Everything. That's all fine, Pastor, for everybody else but me. You just don't understand. Yes, I do. If you say to me, well, Pastor, you just don't understand, then I'm going to tell you, you really don't have the shield of faith. Because God says, I will protect you from everything that the devil throws at you. Now, does that mean you'll never get kind of dinged up a little bit? Mr. T, when you were in battle, did you ever get hurt? When you were training, did you ever get hurt? But you survived. Thank God for that. There's a promise in the Bible that says nothing will come our way that God has not already made a way of escape. Are you trusting God today? Have you taken that shield of faith with the rest of the armor that he's asked you to put on? Everything up to this point in the armor has been for defense. We have one more thing we're going to look at that has to do with offense, and we'll take that up next week and we'll wrap it up. But God has prepared us to defend us against the devil and all of his attacks if we'll put on his armor, starting with truth, righteousness, faith. But let's just underscore here, God's truth, his righteousness, faith in him, trust. That's where sheep roar.